Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey everyone, it's Bob Shorey. I'm just going to jump in before the episode starts. Just to let you know, there was quite a few audio issues this week. You've heard me say this before in other episodes, but... Yeah, we had a lot of issues. I had to go back and re-record all the clips and the edit. There was just a myriad of problems I faced during the edit. So something went seriously wrong with this one. But just for you guys, I gave up a lot of time this weekend and tried to fix it up as best I could. So you still got something this week. You may hear a few issues here and there throughout the episode, but hopefully I've done as best I can to still make it an enjoyable experience for you. So, just a heads up that there are one or two little bits you might hear, interference or whatever, throughout the show, but I've done my absolute best for you. Enjoy it. It's a good one. On with the show.
With the sleep I'm not getting enough anyway. Oh no. Oh no. Who's going to decide who and when a person's going to die?
Right, go.
So as you both already know, we're talking about cults.
Mm-hmm.
As voted for by the patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for voting. I really wanted to get back into cults anyway, so...
It was a really popular choice on the patrons.
Yeah. I completely forgot after the Manson episode about cults, and I'd already researched quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what I remember. At the end of that episode, you were like, oh, I've researched loads more cults, and I'll get back around to it.
So I've researched another cult.
You didn't introduce the episode.
Oh, yeah, you didn't say, hello, you're listening to me.
Oh, hello, blah, blah, blah. Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable with me, Adam Tish, with me as always, my co-hosts.
This is Bob Shoy.
This is Beef.
Oh, hello guys, how's it going? We're talking about cults.
Do you want me to edit that beginning so it sounded like you started with, you're listening to Weird Tales, or do you want me to leave it as you actually did it?
No, leave it like that.
Yeah.
It's too hot to change around. I was going to do cults last time.
And then you remembered it's Tiss's...
It's Tiss's bag.
It's Tiss's bag. That's like Tiss turning up and being like, today's episode, The Warrens.
You've only done one cults episode, haven't you?
Yeah, but yeah. He said on that episode that he was planning loads more.
Mm. How do you remember everything that we... I know you edit it, don't you?
It's my job too.
That's like when Beef did this competition about the exact number of the episodes and we've got every single one right.
Oh, well, we've got one right.
Huh?
You got one right.
Yeah, fucking guess.
Did you guys know I went to see Silo last weekend?
Yes. How was it?
Yeah, it was really good.
I was so jealous.
I saw him before you.
So jealous.
It's really good. He said on the heart. I saw him at the heart of the interval, and he was like, "Oh, are the other guys here?" I said, "No. Tiss is in Wales and Beef's and newly become a father."
Mm.
And he was like, "Oh, I was hoping Tiss was here." Because I really wanted to get him up on stage because he gives like the best reactions.
No way! Oh my god! I'll definitely, if Silas listening now, I'll definitely come to. I wanted to come to that one. It's just, yeah, the Wales thing happened, and I was so jealous. I saw the picture and was like, I missed it. Like, oh, I really wanted to see it.
Right.
Anyway, onto the magic of the show.
I can't wait for you to get going,
Tiss. So today we're looking at, first of all, We're going to... I've got two cults that we're going to look at today. One, if we get time. The first one is going to be a famous one. It's the Jonestown Massacre.
Which we talked a little bit about.
A little bit about, yeah. Awesome. A tiny bit about.
We delve into it too much.
What do you know about Jonestown? What did we talk about with Jonestown?
We talked about the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about... talked about him, didn't we? Yeah, we talked a bit about him, and we played some of his speeches and stuff.
Really?
Mm.
What episode was this?
Serial Killers.
He isn't a serial killer, though.
Well, that was what we discussed on the show, like, would you consider this serial killing? And it was like that part of the show was about that.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're going to flip the episode around now.
I've got loads of interviews with him, and... No, joking.
When he really looked at... I think we listened to one of his speeches.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the one in the church towards the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, right at the end.
And then there was one that was interviewing one of the congregation people.
So you remember?
Yeah, well, that was my episode.
I don't remember anything ever, so...
Yeah, well...
So
Tiss is going to do a beef where he's like, okay, I'll try this video for you. It's like, we done this video. No, I only get material wrong, not video.
Nobody joins a cult. Nobody joins something they think is going to hurt them. You join a religious organization, you join a political movement, and you join with people that you really like.
I think in everything that I tell you about Jim Jones, there's going to be a paradox. Having this vision to change the world, but having this whole undercurrent of dysfunction that was underneath that vision.
Some people see a great deal of God in my body. They see Christ in me. A hope of glory.
He said, if you see me as your friend, I'll be your friend. As you see me as your father, I'll be your father. He said, if you see me as your God, I'll be your God.
Jim Jones talked about going to the promised land, and then pretty soon we were seeing film footage of Jonestown.
Rice, black eyed peas, Kool-Aid.
We all wanted to go. I wanted to go. People's Temple truly had the potential to be something big and powerful and great. And yet, for whatever reason, Jim took the other road.
On the night of the 17th, it was still a vibrant community. I would never have imagined that 24 hours later they would all be dead.
Die with a degree of dignity.
So we talked one thing we talked about before that I've just been thinking about, and we may not have mentioned it before, but I hadn't really thought about towards the beginning where she says that no one joins a cult.
Mm.
You know, you only assign yourself to a community that you think is positive, affluent, good for you.
A cult. It isn't like here's a cult, come join.
But it's interesting that if you assign yourself to something with such commitment that you won't recognize when it starts to kind of evolve into something a bit darker.
Hmm.
That's really interesting, isn't it? That's really interesting to think you'd never willingly put yourself in harm. That's mental. So, yeah, that's really interesting. No one joins a cult. It's just it depends on how it evolves.
It's like, as well, when you hear him speaking, you heard him a little bit in that clip, and when I think back to the clips we heard of him on that Serial Killers episode, it really is like that. It's weird how similar, not his voices, but just the way of speaking is to the clips we heard of Charles Manson.
Yeah, yeah.
And that it's like that cult leader way of speaking, that mind control way of speaking that just lulls people in.
Yeah, you do get, and it is there's a real kind of preacher aspect to it.
I mean, it's like sinister preacher.
Yeah, sinister minister.
Yeah,
I think that's from Peep Show. Yeah, it really is. And this is one thing I'm recognizing, and because I go to church, you very, very quickly pick out biblical reference, wheat from the chaff, in imposters. You know, you either recognize someone and you think, well, they're clearly not in it for themselves. This is something they believe in, and they're trying to lead people as best they can in this set of teachings. And then you do meet some pastors, you're like, God, yeah, you're only in this to try and build your own ego.
Really? You get pastors like that?
You do.
I'm
you
sure
do
you
meet,
do. Like, I'm not, like, generally chatting to pastors.
You do meet some people like that, and they see themselves explicitly as the reason the church is the church.
Right.
So whereas I've been to many churches that, you know, it's full of people who are genuine and, like, just believe in, you know, it's not necessarily like a... They go to the church for the church. They go there because they feel like they belong to a part of a community. But you do have some pastors, and you go and you're just like, yeah, you're here because he's there. Mm. If he goes, you go as well. And it really is. That's the difference, I think. We're talking about the difference between a cult and a religion last time, I think. Or we mentioned it, maybe not on that episode, but before.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that is the difference.
We talked about it on Tissa's last episode.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, with the Mansons. Yeah, as soon as you start to assign yourself more to an individual rather than the community, it's... Yeah,
so
it's really chilling.
Tissy, the Jonestown, what is the basic, like, A, B, C of, like, the storyline of the Jonestown Massacre?
Okay, so...
I'm trying to really quietly... Sorry, hang on. You'll have to
We're munching on sweets. This is really bad.
Sorry, Sean.
Let me get one of them.
So he started off preaching at church. He realised that preaching was a way that he could amass followers. And his specific style was that he included people of all races. People would say that his preaching style was like more of a black church than like a traditional whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always about socialism and racial equality, which is what a lot of people didn't like back in those days, because it was the days of racial inequality, which is... still present, but more felt.
Even more so, yeah.
Even more so. And, yeah, it just went from strength to strength. They started buying up massive buses and driving all round, you know, California, preaching everywhere, getting more and more followers. It was mainly the socialism. He'd take in people and they'd all put into the system and they'd all get out of it. They'd look after everyone. And it started off like a really good idea. Like most cults, because that's how people get dragged into it.
Well, when you start talking about it like this, it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the mystery bus.
Yeah, it was more like... It was like people being offered... And because it was around
the
70s...
mystery bus? Did I just make that
That's
up?
Scooby-Doo.
That's the mystery machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was... I mean, of the magic school bus.
Oh, right.
Anyway, carry on. The bus, the magic school bus.
So, and the funny thing is, it's got in common with Manson, is it was around the same time, the 70s, the hippie revolution.
Mm.
People were disillusioned with the government, so a lot of false prophets were trying to start their own communities and start their own perfect societies. And people were taken in by it because it was socialism and, you know, it seemed good.
Mm. Well, it was the only way, really, that people... See, whereas now, if people want to campaign, the way people campaign has changed completely, isn't it?
Mm.
Whereas in the 70s, the only way to campaign is to actively do something.
And the thing is, they all wanted a change, but they were also dissatisfied with the government and the way things were going.
Yeah.
Like, these groups were offering what they're after. Like, this is the sort of difference we want as, like, the biggest culture, and it's not happening, so we have to make these offset groups.
Mm.
And they started off in Indiana, that was it. Jones began attending meetings and rallies of the Communist Party USA, Indianapolis. So, yeah, it was, like, communism, sort of socialism, that sort of thing that he was into, but also the gospel.
Equality for all.
The ghetto gospel.
Everyone's equal.
Tupac Shakur and all that.
All animals are born equal.
Yeah.
Some are more equal than others.
Mm.
Yeah.
Animal Farm recommendation of the week.
Don't read it.
Tupac recommendation.
It's the outro music.
Amazing. So, yeah, he started the Rainbow Family, which was basically, he started adopting, like, non-Caucasian children.
Brangelina.
Of all ancestry.
He's the Brangelina of the
70s. Adopting them?
Actually adopting
How
them,
How many
yeah.
kids did he have then?
Let's have a look.
Did he have real kids? He had real kids, didn't he?
Mm.
He had
a son.
Yeah, and he was there.
His son wanted to get out, and his mum was like, you've got to get out.
Yeah. What, Jim Jones Jr.?
Mm.
No, that was an adopted son, but it might have been.
I thought he had a real son, and his son wanted out.
Oh, maybe.
I didn't know he adopted children.
Yeah.
Does it? Do we know how many adopted?
Tim Jones.
What?
A couple also adopted another son called Tim Jones. That's fucking ridiculous. Let's have a look. I didn't go into his kids. Children, seven. Seven children.
Well, real ones.
Real or rubs? I don't know. I say they're all rubs.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had a load of real kids. I bet he was shagging everyone. Those cult leaders just everywhere.
Oh my god.
That is great.
Yeah, there was a little bit about. Here we go.
Well, Manson had a few wives, didn't he? Did I make that up? Or like a few concubines lying around?
Probably.
On each person's level.
He said, a lot of you people, you Christian people come in, you're so hung up on this Bible. He said, this black book has held down black people for the last 200 years. He said, but I'm going to show you this has no power.
Whoa.
You need to feel guilty if you take too many luxuries like sleeping.
A necessity, like sleeping. I'm going to tell you right now, sleep is necessary.
I gave my rights up to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Her skin. Not even any shoes on, you know.
What's this about?
You name it. Yeah, what is this? Everything they could think of, they were saying. Her body's almost red from embarrassment. And I noticed something. Jones was sitting, looking over his sunglasses. But he had a smile on his face. Like he's really enjoying this woman being torn down.
I'm trying to find the bit where he said about, there was a bit in here about bum sex.
What was it about?
About bum sex.
What, he took it or he liked it?
He was saying that he would.
He said, I have to take it, I like it.
That's getting cut, isn't it? Rubs.
There we go.
Found a bit about bum sex.
I had been in the temple for just a few months. I was sent backstage in Los Angeles to get something for somebody. I don't remember what. And Jones happened to be coming out of his room. And he said, hi, Tim, how are you doing? How's it going? How do you like everything so far? And, oh, I like it a lot, and, you know, it's really cool. I don't remember exactly. And he reached up and kind of patted the back of my neck, and he said, I'll fuck you in the ass if you want.
Whoa,
what?
And I just kind of stammered, no, you know, no. And he said, well, you know, if you ever want that, that's okay. You know, just let me know and we'll do that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but well, I understand.
Whoa, pause it.
I would understand if he was like, I'll let you fuck me up the ass if you want. But he's like, hey, I'll fuck you up the ass if you want. Just let me know. I'll do it.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. So this guy, is this guy actually gay?
No.
So what would have provoked Jim Jones to just be like, hey, just laying my cards on the table?
Well, this is Weird Tales and Unexplainable. This is anything's game.
But it is, it's just the bravado, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, even if that's not something you want.
I feel like if you say something with that much confidence, or that, like, people get spellbound by it because they're not used to people being that assertive.
It's like Negan, isn't it?
Right.
He just, like, has this, like, aura, like, everyone does whatever he says.
Negan.
So it's like, you can guarantee that he probably didn't really want to be involved in anal sex with another man.
That's why he was like, no thanks.
No.
Are we still talking about Negan?
Oh, right.
No. No, I don't know about Negan. But,
how would you react?
What if someone?
Yeah, you join like this groovy gang. It sounds fun.
In my mystery machine.
Yeah, you jump out the mystery machine. He comes over and like, hey, just so you know,
I'll fuck you
up the ass if you want it.
I think I would first of all have to establish why he thought I would want that.
Right.
And if he says, oh, it was just, you know,
just an offer,
just saying,
just being polite,
and say, I'm alright, thank you.
Yeah.
Just.
Do you still stick with the cult though? Do you still like the cut of his jib?
I think I would. I don't want to go anywhere near his jib. I think I'd go back to whoever I was with and be like,
weirdest
thing just happened, right? Would you? Is he ever offered anal sex? But like, he wants to do anal sex to you, not receive it. Then if the person was like, oh, I just worry about it. That's Jim. He says wacky stuff. And I'd be like, oh, okay. If he asked me a couple of times, though, I think I'd have to be like,
okay, then.
No, I think I'd have to seriously consider.
Like, rubber up.
You know.
Jim said that all of us were homosexuals. Everyone except he was the only heterosexual on the planet. And that the women were all lesbians and the guys were all gay. And so anyone that showed any interest in sex was just compensating.
What he explained to each of us and in sermons was that sexual relationships were very selfish and they took away from the focus of the church, and that was to help others. Jim was not celibate. Nobody knew that until perhaps it was their time to find out.
Until everyone had been banged.
Okay. No one knew he wasn't celibate.
And he's offering everyone to like...
No one went around and said...
Can you believe this?
Until it was their time. That's what she said.
Oh, right. Because that word must have got around. Even some of the girls must have started talking to each other. Has he offered you...
But that was men. Like, I've not heard any...
Yeah, but he must have gone through the women.
Do you think he said the same thing to the women?
If you want anal sex.
If you want me to fuck you on the arse, yeah. I wonder if that was like his thing.
Maybe it was like his bucket list. Yeah, maybe that was like his sexual bucket list, and that was the last thing he'd not done yet. And he's like, I just want to find any willing soul.
Because I still haven't bloody done it.
Yeah, oh, I really want to do that. Yeah, that's like really manipulative and horrible.
She said he felt like everyone on the planet was gay apart from him.
And he was
How does that even make sense?
But she also said in the sermons as well, in his sermons, like he would tell people that sex was selfish and it got in the way of the mission of the church, which is to help people.
Sex can be selfish.
Well, yeah, but it can also be lovely.
Great.
Very. Yeah.
Jim was not celibate. Nobody knew that until perhaps it was their time to find out. What he spoke from the pulpit wasn't what he did behind the scenes.
I remember one night, one of the brothers had stood up and said, you know, I think everybody that wants father to screw him in the butt, you need to take an enema first.
What?
I'm telling you the truth, man. I'm telling you the truth.
This really was like a thing for him.
Ah.
And then the question went on, well, how many of you in here have had him to do that? And it, whether they were lying or just following suit, hands of the men just went up around the room. And I'm sitting there petrified because I'm like, is this what it's leading to that I'm supposed to get to? And I'm thinking, But I played it off like, okay, I'm being cool. Okay, if that's where they at, that's not where I'm at. Because I'm thinking, I'm happy with my wife. You know, for what I'm saying, with this sleep I'm not getting enough anyway.
So he was...
Well, this is such a weird aspect of the Jonestown thing, which I knew nothing about.
No, I didn't know anything about this kind of...
Well, these guys... These guys all seem, like, straight, though.
I think it was more...
Just like a power thing, or what?
Yeah. I think it was like having sex with them. Imagine if, like, you know, like, to them it was like Jesus.
But like, if he holy... Was Jim himself bi? Was he just having sex with the men for power? Was he enjoying it?
Undisclosed. In fact, I'll find out. I'll have a look online.
It's one thing that him and some of the women had, like, consensual sex, and him and some of the guys had consensual sex. But he was also fucking the straight guys who weren't up for it.
In like, Old Testament times, right, older men would have sex with younger boys to show that they had dominance and power over them.
Wow.
And that they could do that if they wanted to. It's not in the Bible, but it's kind of like referred to, and that's why they talk about homosexuality.
It's referred to in the Bible.
Well, they talk about homosexuality, and that's what they're referring to, is like, this is not right. This kind of like animalistic dominance and power, right, like trying to govern yourself over someone else that's younger than you.
Right, okay, using it as a power thing.
Is wrong. So I wonder whether it was just like a crazy power trip. And also, if you were sleep deprived as well,
yeah,
it would take a while for you to try and put pieces together in your head. And like, eventually you would go to someone and be like, I need to ask because I don't know if this is just because I'm so tired and I'm not sleeping. But have you been, has he, you know...
Steve's doing a hand gesture, which you can imagine.
Has he offered to do some anal?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Which of these clips am I going to put at the front of the show?
Well, this is a cool thing.
Ain't no one of
this,
them.
This thing says anything. Good. Going back to the cult thing, it said anything that does not empower the people is a cult. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's true. A good way to put
it. If you disempower the people, then that's a cult.
Mm.
But if you're empowering people, then that's a religion.
That's a really good description.
Yeah.
There was one kind of like church event I went to, right? Mm. And there was this like pastor from America there. And I ended up leaving halfway through because I didn't like him so much and what he was doing.
Pastor Boss.
So he was praying for people off the stage. So he'd get off and pray for people and then keep preaching and whatever.
Right.
And there was this lady with Down syndrome, right? And she went up and he prayed for her. And then she went up again. And he went, no, go away, you've had your turn, like that. And I looked at Rachel, I'm like, here we go, because that's wrong. He's like looking as if he's got all the power, and he's taking power away from other people.
Power tripping.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was really horrible to watch.
Pastor Pigs.
But that is really...
So, not long after the formation of the LA Church, Jim ran into a serious legal problem. He was arrested in the restroom of a late-night movie theater where a lot of gay men hung out.
Oh, I was joking, really.
Apparently, he approached an undercover agent with an erect penis in a provocative way.
How can you approach someone with an erect penis in a non-provocative way?
It was like, sorry. Morning wood. This incident threatened to bring down this people's temple, and those who knew about it teamed up to prepare for a possible backlash. Apparently he started told people to invite people from the local homosexual church so that if the backlash did come.
Homosexual church? What do you mean homosexual church?
It just says in quotations homosexual church.
But in a church in LA, like a rainbow church?
So Jim, I think so.
Okay.
So Jim needed homosexuals. He was determined to make people's temple.
He needed them.
A more openly homosexual church.
It sounds like he is gay, or was gay.
Yeah.
And just couldn't ever...
It sounds like... Well, first I was thinking it's a power thing. This seems like more than a power thing.
I think
it seems like a sexual repression thing. He's making up like he's in it for power, whereas, you know, he's gay.
I think...
Or bi, if he's shagging the women too.
I think one of the... things that they were said earlier about, he said everyone's homosexual.
Unless, because that was making himself feel better, because maybe he was actually gay and he was shagging the women for the power, but the men for the pleasure.
I've not heard anything about him shagging women.
It's true.
Well, really?
I've only...
Well, he's got kids, though.
Adopted kids, though.
Yeah, but I thought he had real kids as well.
Oh, yeah, he probably, like, you know, did his duty in the bedroom.
Yeah.
His wife.
Did his duty in the bedroom.
Duty.
But there's a lot of stuff here about... He'd use sex for power.
Yeah.
He said everyone else was homosexual apart from him. And then his...
apart from him. P.S. You can see a bit.
But it'd help...
Yes, if you ever want anal sex, I'll do it.
But he'd help them find their homosexuality. So he'd help them realise that they are homosexual.
That's mental.
Oh, my God.
So he was saying, everyone in the world is gay, so if you need me to help
you... If you don't realise it yet, I'm going to show you. Mm. You're going to bloody love it.
Yeah. Mm. He really was a ringleader.
That's a stinger.
Oh, anal sex.
Jim Jones. Yeah.
One of the powerful things that Jim used to keep us...
Wait.
I'm not getting enough anyway.
Still complaining.
That's at the start of the episode.
So the cult members, this is on communication and how he kept them suppressed, basically.
One of the powerful things that Jim used to keep us to not think was that we were never really allowed to speak with one another. I'd look around and I'd say, am I the only one that feels this way? I learned eventually not to say anything to anyone.
We had a lady who visited us a week ago here and was speaking to one at the door, and she was a member of a prominent church, a pastor's wife. And she said, I think that the poor should be made to control how many children they bring into the earth. You remember? Some leading scientists say, we have to have euthanasia. Oh, no. Oh, no. Who's going to decide who and when a person's going to die? We must never allow that, because this is the kind of thing that ushers in the terror of a Hitler's Germany. We must not allow these kind of things to enter our consciousness.
A little bit ironic, considering what happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He speaks like a gospel church leader.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He really does sound like... If I hadn't seen him already, I would think he was black.
Yeah.
From just his voice and the way he delivers, like, it sounds like a gospel church.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
It's just like a yeah.
He definitely lent into that style of preaching.
Yeah.
But did he ever give a reason why you weren't allowed to talk to each other? I suppose that, like,
just the power.
Yeah, I wondered.
Again.
I think it's just power. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it'd just be like you do what you are told to do.
I think a lot of them said they wouldn't. They got into a pattern of not thinking for themselves because Jim knew what to think, so they just do.
God, that is really, like, creepy. It's, like, really, really...
I think it's really easy to get into that pattern as well. Like, people do want to be told what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, people read the fucking Sun for that reason. They don't want to... They don't have time to think... No, honestly, people don't have time to think for themselves. They can't read articles. They read headlines... And then they console themselves with, oh, okay, I know enough about the world today, and I'll put the news, and I'll carry on with my day. And then, because loads of people I know just talk headlines because they can't think for themselves. They don't too much energy, too much like, oh, I don't know what to think, because, do you know what I mean? They just can't.
They still like to spout their opinions, though, don't they?
Oh, of course.
So many times I've heard people spout their opinion, and it'd be literally what I saw on a newspaper when I stopped to get
like a headline. Yeah,
and I'm like, like, you haven't got an opinion.
But like, oh, did you hear about him doing this? It's like, did you read that from the headline? It's like, yeah.
Did you actually,
like,
know anything more
about
it?
Did you read the article? Oh, yeah, well, it just went on to say that, yeah, he did this, and it's like, no, I didn't. But, you know. So that is...
The guys you hang out with.
Yeah, I don't think for themselves. I don't hang out with them.
Yeah, down the path.
I hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
So when he got all this power and completely controlled all these people... It's like he didn't know what to do with it. It's like, what can I do? Like, I'm already controlling the way they think.
It's almost
I'm
like
fucking them however I want.
It's almost like Dice Man. Like, what if I can get them to kill themselves?
Yeah, it's like he had nothing. He ran out of ideas. Like, what else can I get him to do?
Well,
kill himself.
Do you want to? Should we hear the story of the run up to the killing? Because the middle bit is just
carrying on.
Just business as usual.
Anal sex, business as usual.
They moved to Panama. Or Brazil, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
To Jonestown.
Yeah, they wanted to set up.
They set up Jonestown.
That's
and,
it.
And basically no one could leave. And then, okay. So from here. So basically Congressman Ryan, a congressman from the US, wanted to go and visit this place. Just to see what was happening. Reporters went there. And this is what happened, basically.
There's pictures of them on a beach as well, weren't they? Like, ooh, well happy and that.
Literally, out of nowhere, the storm came blowing in. The sky turned black, the wind came up, and it just torrential rain. But what I personally felt was that evil itself blew into Jonestown. It was about 11:30 in the morning. Edith Parks walked up to Jackie Spear and said, I'm being held prisoner here. I want to go home.
Now, do I both understand you to say that you both won Jonestown on this date, November 18, 1978?
Yeah. Immediately, the whole vibe changed. I mean, you just reporters said, we got our story. You know, the story here is happening right now.
Jim Jones came to talk to me. And the first thing he said was, don't say anything to the reporters. They're all liars. And the last words I heard from Jim Jones was, I just want you to know that you can come back to Jonestown and visit your son anytime you want.
Last night, someone came and passed me this note.
He's the one that I'm just talking about. Yeah, this is the man I want to leave his son here.
Doesn't it concern you, though, that this man, for whatever reason, one of the people in your group...
People play games, friend. They lie. What can I do about liars? Are you people going to leave us? I just beg you, please leave us. Bill, we will bother nobody. Anybody wants to get out of here, can get out of here. We have no problem about getting out of here. They come and go all the time. I don't know what kind of game. People people like publicity. Some people do. I don't. But some people like publicity. But if it's so damn bad, why is he leaving his son here? Can you give me a good reason for that?
When word got out that people were leaving, all hell broke out.
You bring those kids back here! You bring them back! Don't you touch my kids!
More people wanted to leave. And then Jim Jones started to make pleas to people saying, you can't leave. You're my people. Why do you want to leave?
Sorry, I just wanted to comment on that bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he really had something wrong with him.
Mm.
Like, not that I felt sorry for him, but part of me, you feel a little bit of pathos when he's like, please don't leave. It's like, he needed it. He needed
this something power. Must have
he
happened
felt
in
really
his,
empty without it.
Something must have happened in his sort of in his life leading up to it that governed how he behaved. Yeah.
Well, he needed control. Like he needed it. And when he started losing control, begging, and then obviously what he decided to do as like a final solution.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just so...
It's really chilling.
Yeah, it's really like it starts unravelling. And you start almost like feeling he's unraveling like with it. Like he can't take it. He's suddenly not in the control.
I think what it was is the reporters and the visit spurred everyone to go, right, this is our chance to...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If someone from the outside world comes in, it's like, I want to get out. Can I come back with you? Like, and almost, yeah, from that point, it started to unravel from there.
But that was, surely that was the moment that the people who got out went. Shortly, because wasn't it shortly after that he was like going out his way to make sure people weren't leaving?
He didn't want anyone to leave, yeah.
Jones was in the pavilion. At one point, he said, well, of course you can go if you want, but clearly that was not the message. The message was, you are betraying me.
I went and I spoke to the congressman in the pavilion. I told him, you are in extreme danger. You need to leave. And he said, you don't have anything to worry about. He says, you have the congressional shield of protection around you. And I just looked at him like he was totally insane.
Congressman Ryan is directly across from me, and I saw this temple member walk up behind him, and he was actually crying and shaking. And all of a sudden, he pulled out this knife and said, all right, motherfucker, you're gonna die. We all jumped on him, and there were just screams of horror everywhere.
We heard this great uproar in the pavilion, and the truck stopped. Shortly thereafter, Congressman Ryan starts walking out in this blood-stained shirt.
Those of us in the news media viewed Congressman Ryan as a form of protection, shield of the United States. What happened there in those few moments made it clear that nobody was safe.
This sounds like complete chaos.
Mm.
Like it suddenly went to chaos. Mm. What I want to know is when this happened, like the outside came in and people sort of saw their chance and tried to flee. And then he did all that like, we can go if you want. But that was almost like a brainwashing thing in itself.
Mm.
How did he then convince people to go through with like the poisoning?
Mm.
How did like how
it's such a big jump?
Well, there's a lot of them who were still indoctrinated.
Like,
there was a lot of
just
them.
The diehards. Yeah, like yeah. There was nothing that was going to shake them.
Yeah, a good amount of people. I'll let you know the figure in a minute. But do you know how many?
I've probably heard it before, but
how many do you reckon? How many people?
Well, that drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I think I know.
What?
Do you?
I think I know, like, roughly.
Go on, then.
The thing is, I've got two figures in my head, and they're way apart.
Like but, 20 and 1,000.
I think it was, like, 900 people.
No.
What do you think?
I was going to say, like, 100, thinking that was a lot.
Okay. Beef's right.
It's 900.
900 people.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, I remember.
A little bit of trivia. Real or rubs.
this is the right time.
It's real.
For real.
900.
Yeah, get your head around that.
I can't.
Get your loaf around that.
Flipped my wig.
Where's the... I had to figure another figure. How many children do you think?
If it's 900.
It must have 100? Been... I reckon at least 200.
Oof.
287.
Whoa!
Nearly 300 kids.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they don't know what they're doing.
They'd have that would have they'd have had to.
They
have,
were killed.
Yeah, their parents were. Yeah, they murdered them.
They were murdered by their parents. Like no kid is willingly killing themselves.
How many people survived?
There's only a few, isn't there? There's
what about
like
everyone
only
that
a
left
handful.
When it was all going shit up?
I think that includes this number. How many?
What you everyone think? That left got out as well?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even know there was 900 people in the cult to begin with. So hearing that many people died
it was massive.
Bonkers to me. But there's got to be a lot of people that got away.
How many do you reckon survived?
500.
40. 33.
Only 33? The way they talk about it on there, it was like, oh, like, it all collapsed and everyone was like, getting the fuck out of there.
I think there was only, I think it was like a snowball effect. It was like,
yeah,
one person said, then another couple said, but all the kids of these people were, you know, indoctrinated to fuck. Like, they were just like, nope, my parents are infidels. Or
yeah, but it was, but the collapse would have come in and like slowly eaten away at the whole infrastructure, wouldn't it?
Because
it would be like, eventually it would be a friend, like a really good friend of yours. It'd be like, whoa, like, why is he leaving? You know, and you'd be like, okay. And then that would just create this doubt. And so, yeah, maybe that was his last, like, grasp attempt at gaining control.
Like, I'm going to lose these people, so I'm going to lose them on my own terms.
Yeah.
Whoa,
900 as well. Like, 900 people.
And he drank it himself, did he?
Well.
Or did he put, like, the real juice in his cup? Like, come on then, guys.
Find out.
A nice bit of Ribena.
Yeah. Actual Kool-Aid, nothing, no additives.
Ribena's full of sugar, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So it's got more sugar than Coke.
Really?
Ribena has,
delicious,
yeah,
though, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. There's nothing so like nice. It. There's nothing like a carton of Ribena. If you get the squash, it's not, never the same. A carton of Ribena is so good.
Yeah. You know what else is nice? Strawberry Ribena.
Oh, yeah, that's so good. Oh.
I don't like strawberry things, apart from strawberry laces.
Yeah.
I don't like strawberry yogurts, strawberry milkshakes, stuff like that. But strawberry Ribena.
It's the tits, isn't it?
I don't know one out.
Oh, mate, never you've got that. To do it.
If you see a carton of strawberry Ribena, jump on that shit.
That's
sponsored by strawberry Ribena.
Yeah, well, can we get sponsored by strawberry Ribena? What flavour Kool-Aid do you think it was?
Strawberry.
No.
It was like cherry or something, wasn't it? Cola. Cola.
Flavor-Aid. Oh, wait. What is Flavor-Aid? Okay, sorry. This drinking Kool-Aid. Yeah, I guess it doesn't have the flavour. What is in Kool-Aid?
If we sound ignorant about Kool-Aid, Americans, we don't have Kool-Aid in England.
Yeah, but Kool-Aid is a powder, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you put it in and mix it in with the water.
What, and it makes a fizzy drink, or is it not fizzy? It's
I don't think it's fizzy. I think it's just...
Oh, sounds gross. Is Kool-Aid nice? So, American listeners, let us know about Kool-Aid. I really want to know about it.
Because they
don't want to look it up.
They don't have, like, you know how we have squash?
Mm.
No, I haven't found any other countries that do just squash like we do.
Really?
Squash. Yeah, you buy like little packets.
That's like the standard.
You can
drink.
Get, like, Ribena. You get the same makes. They just do powdered stuff.
Really?
And you tip it in and mix it up. And it makes
wow.
A,
yeah. I don't like the sound of that.
When I was in Africa, they did these, like, orange ones, and they were rank. But it was Africa, so, you know, what do you expect?
Hey, this is Bob Shoy. I'm just going to jump in here to give you a little bit more information on the Kool-Aid, because we were trying to move on with the show when we recorded, but I do actually have the flavour and a bit more information. So I found this answer on Quora.com, and I put it on the blog, but someone wrote that they drank grape flavour Flavor-Aid, which is, you hear our confusion on the show. Americans know this, English people maybe not, and overseas maybe not. Kool-Aid is a brand of powdered flavoured drink. Flavor-Aid is a competitor, and so they drank grape flavoured Flavor-Aid laced with cyanide. And it is possible that there was also Kool-Aid involved because of the huge number of people, and a lot of beverage would have been needed. And Kool-Aid and Flavor-Aid were both known to have been kept on hand in Jonestown. So there you go. Grape Flavor-Aid. Grape Flavor-Aid is the answer. Anyway, back to the show.
Did you know also earlier, before the actual killing, he actually gave everyone this punch?
What, in the face?
Everyone drunk it, and then over the tannoy he said that had poison in it, and everyone was going nuts, and he said that was just a trust exercise.
Was it then laughing? And then, how did everyone react though when he was like,
everyone was just like shaking?
So that was,
and it was apparently a trust exercise to see if people were...
That was like a fake... That was a fake...
A fake poisoning, yeah.
So he didn't poison them then?
No.
So when he came around again, he was like, take this punch.
Well, no, I think this one was like...
He told him.
He told him it was... Yeah, he said this was like...
He was like, remember the way you took it and you didn't know?
Yeah.
If that had been real, you'd have been dead. So it's that easy.
It was more like, if you can't find peace in this life, we'll find peace in the next. And he was saying that everyone...
But they were... This is what I don't get. Like, that's how brainwashed they were. Is that they went to Panama to create their own paradise, their own heaven, away from civilization. So...
What religion was
he
they?
Had no peace at all.
Was it? Christianity? Or was he just making his own?
It would have started off as Christianity,
It was Christianity with a... It was his own.
Isn't suicide a sin in Christianity? Like, you don't go to heaven if you kill yourself.
No. No.
But I think...
I
could be wrong, but I think it's the same for Islam as well. It was only Assad that promoted the use of killing, suicide killing as a weapon, weaponizing people. But in the actual faith of Islam, if you commit suicide, it's
not. Isn't it just that you go to purgatory or some shit?
I think so.
This is something I don't really know too much about. Some people some Christians would say, yes, without a shadow of a doubt, you end up
because you're taking the gift of life that you are granted.
But then other people who are probably a bit more liberal, like myself, would be like, but look at every individual. Like, what if you were wrongfully imprisoned in like Hong Kong and you were innocent and you knew that was your life now, like. I don't know, you've got to look at every...
Yeah, but do you hate...
euthanasia?
When in a situation like that...
Euthanasia could be suicide.
When in a situation like that, as a religious person, do you hate when people are like, God's got a plan for us all, there's a reason I'm here, and it's like they're literally in like a pit?
Well, what do you mean? Like, if someone's like, saying... Answer.
Yeah, like they're, like you say, some horrible like Hong Kong prison, and it's like, I'd rather be dead, but they keep on living because they're like, hey, this is God's plan. I find that like a real get-out clause of like, no, this is shit.
Yeah, no, I think it's...
I guess it's them just trying to make the best of a situation with an excuse.
Yeah, I don't think...
Because I know you're fond of the expression, God works in mysterious ways.
Oh, I'm really not.
Yeah.
No, I think there are people in the Bible who ended up in prison for like 30 years and then...
And they stuck it out.
You know, and came out the other side and cracked on with whatever it was they felt.
Did anyone in the Bible commit suicide?
Judas.
Did he? I was going to say Judas because he was such a...
The Judas...
to Jesus,
Jesus killed all them pigs.
Do you know what Judas did? Not once did he pray him. Not twice. Thrice.
Yeah, what did he do?
He betrayed Jesus.
Oh, that's right. Peter.
No.
Peter betrayed Jesus 3 times, yeah.
What about Judas?
Judas was the one who...
Ratted him out.
Him in.
And then he lied to him 3 times.
So Judas...
Was
Judas,
Jesus like, have you dubbed me in? He was like, nah.
Yeah.
No, because they were sat around... Like, so that's what the Last Supper is. So the Last Supper is they were sat around... The disciples were sat around him.
Yeah, Mary Magdalene.
And he's breaking bread and stuff. And Jesus is like, one of you is going to betray me.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, I hope it's not me. Like talking around. And he said basically said there's one person sat around this table who can't call me Lord.
Right.
Will not recognise me as Lord of their life.
He was calling their bluff.
And then Judas like got up and left. He turned to Judas and said, do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Judas went off to the Romans and is like, Jesus guy, I know where he is. Going to arrest him, and he got.
So
his
Judas kind of led him to do it.
Jesus led him to do it.
Yeah, because he was like, "Oh, one of you is going to betray me. Go and do it."
Yeah, because
Judas
was like,
"Sweet."
Yeah, exactly. But it's like if he even
off
says,
the hook. slides out the door.
See ya.
Did he get a ransom for that, or did
30,
he feel shit?
What, Judas got 30 pieces of silver.
Is that good?
He didn't. He didn't think it was that good because he went and killed himself afterwards.
I think he felt bad.
I've actually got an idea for like a spiritual episode.
Okay.
That I really want to do. I've never done a conspiracy and I've never done like a spiritual episode.
Conspiritual.
And you guys have both done both of those things.
Yeah.
So I've actually got an idea for a conspiracy episode I want to do and a spiritual episode I want to do.
What are they?
But I'm going to be putting it to the vote.
Oh. hello.
Amongst like other things.
I'm going to sign up to Patreon.
So many ideas for episodes I want to do, and I really want to do all of them. That's why I'm just going to be like, choose.
I want to vote. Patrons. I want to vote on that.
You better become a patron then.
I might.
Will I know what it is? Will you?
I might.
You'll know on the day if it gets chosen by the
patrons. I'll try and influence the patrons.
Your one, by the way, was between spiritual, conspiracy, and cults. And cults won.
Yeah, I do love the cults. That got votes. Although I'm still, even the one that I've, we're probably going to stay on Jonestown this whole episode, I'm still dubious about the other cult.
Oh, is it the Japanese?
Because they're still at large.
Good.
What if someone from that cult comes and kills us?
They won't.
Not from Japan.
But what if they did?
From Japan?
No, because they're not in Japan anymore. It's in Russia. It's moved to Europe.
From Russia?
And it's still going.
Russia's a long way.
It's not really Europe.
No, but if you fucking...
You have to get through the whole of Europe to get to us. They're not going to be like, right, we're tails.
Yeah, they've probably got followers in the UK. Just be like, yo, prove you're worthy, go and kill these three people.
So there's a cult running right now and there's people, members of it in the UK?
Maybe. I didn't check whether they were in the UK, but freedom of movement. They could come in any time they want. And they've got a lot of money.
Can I join?
You can. You have to give up all your wealth. That's why we got so much
that's
money.
That's easy, I haven't got very much.
I'm halfway there.
You won't get in. You can't eBay your stuff beforehand.
I've got a kid, I've got no money anymore. Yeah, Jonestown is a good...
You got all the wealth in the world.
Where were we before we went off track?
The punch.
Punch.
Yeah, he fake punched them.
There's one thing that really grabbed me from the very beginning that he said, which was that he... Like, I guess he goes into it in the documentary, but he says about that the Bible... What was it he said about racial...
It had been holding black...
Holding black people
for years, for hundreds of years.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway.
I think he said that.
To try and just con...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just say anything, innit? Hmm. Should we continue on with a little bit more of the ghetto gospel?
So what are we at?
We're up to Congressman Ryan being stabbed, kind of.
Oh, we're going backwards survived. In time.
No. This is the lead up to the death.
Right, okay.
I went back to my cottage. All I wanted to do was see my wife and my son. Gloria and I were laid down on the cot, and we just held each other. And I said, you know, I think we may all die. And she said, she kind of looked at me, and then she looked down at our son, who was playing on the floor with the toy, and she said, you're scaring him. I had literally opened my mouth to say, we need to leave, when there was an announcement on the loudspeaker, everybody report to the pavilion for a meeting.
We drove back to the airstrip, Port Katuma.
So I report. This is as they're leaving the complex.
All of a sudden, we saw a dump truck from far away arriving to this airstrip. We realized these people catch up from the people from Jim Jones. They're very close lieutenant to Jim Jones. These three guys, they get off the truck, walk around this area as though they were looking for somebody. They look in people's faces, they stare at us for a little bit, but they didn't say one word, didn't ask anything. Right away, walk back to the truck. They drove this truck all the way across the airstrip and stopped on this side of the plane. So literally, they cut us off from the jungle. We never know there's people hidden inside the dump truck. The moment they stop shooting right away. Everybody ran towards the plane, on this side of the plane. He tried to hide underneath the wheels.
And the congressman ran under the plane, and I sort of followed suit and got behind one of the tires.
All you can hear is a gun pop, 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 goes off constantly. We lie flat on the tarmac at that moment. But shortly afterwards, I heard my partner, the cameraman, he yelled, oh shit, he said he got shot. He was sitting up.
There were people tumbling and yelling and letting out cries as they were hit. I was hit in my arm and wrist.
I felt a tremendous explosion right next to my head. I got a tremendous pain ran through my arm and on my shoulder. I was literally shaking, but I didn't move. I took the pain and held still.
I was lying on my side, pretending that I was dead, with my head down, and came and, you know, shot me at point blank range. I remember someone coming to me and telling me that Congressman Ryan was dead. But I was at a point where I didn't know how much more time I was going to be alive.
So, well, this is what I was talking about. This is what I said before, but this sounds like absolute chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
So how didn't more people leave?
Well, this is at the point. So everyone, these reporters and that left, having nearly been stabbed. Congressman Ryan starts leaving. So he's just like, right, we're going. They get back to the airstrip, which is away from Jonestown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the dump truck turns up and starts shooting everyone. Basically, they wanted to kill Congressman Ryan.
Oh. Yeah, but why at this point, why didn't the...
Yeah, but so many other people be like, oh, I'm out of here.
Because
yeah,
like, they're so brainwashed.
Really, that's just all it is. Like, you'd have to be. They're so brainwashed by this
one. Like that guy who was like, we've got to leave, he still went back to his cabin, still with his... You know what I mean? Like, he survived, but he was still so brainwashed that he went back to his cabin when you'd just be like, I'm just going with these reporters.
God, can you imagine being that brainwashed?
Yeah. Going back to your cabin, like, to your house, and then going... maybe we should leave. Like, that's fucking stupid. And then they called the meeting. So, yeah, so Congressman Ryan's dead, and they've called a meeting.
We walked up to the pavilion together with everybody else. It was very quiet. It was very somber. It was very sad that it wasn't a death march.
The Congressman's dead. I think they're going to try to get by with
this. He said, well, we got to go. We got to get out of here. We got to go to sleep. Get the solution together.
If we can't live, then we will die.
Maria Katsaris walked up to him and whispered in his ear, and he looked at her and said, is there any way to make it taste less bitter? And she said, no, apparently not. And then he said, is it quick? And she said, yeah, it's supposed to be quick. On the last day of Jonestown, Christine Miller stood up and said, I don't want to die here. Why are we going to throw all this away? We've worked too hard.
She's calling Jim Jones on some of the things that he has promised them that they were going to do. Jim had promised that as an alternative to them dying in Jonestown, that they could go to the Soviet Union.
I'm listening to you. You asked me about Buck. I might not making a call to Russia. What more do you suggest?
Eventually, the rhetoric ratchets up enough that she is shouted down.
Christine, your life has been extended to the day that you spend because of him.
It's when I noticed that there were armed guards that kind of taking positions up around the pavilion. I'm thinking, where did all these fucking guns come from?
Jones came down off the podium and he said, hey, we got to do this. We got to go. That if we don't go this way, we're going to go like this. And they were coming, taking like newborn babies out of the mother's arms.
Mother, 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 please. Mother, please, please, please. Don't do this. Don't do this. Down your life with this guy, but don't do this.
There was a young kid, his name was Thurman. When he came inside, he bumped into me. At that same time, he's falling to the ground and he's going into convulsion.
Hurry, hurry, my children, hurry.
Is he killing babies in this as well?
Yeah. Kids, babies.
How is he killing them?
By the Kool-Aid.
But...
I believe it was cyanide, maybe.
But how has he got this much poison for 900 people?
Yeah, that must have been an awful lot.
Yeah.
It's an awful lot.
An awful lot. Where did you get all that from?
Where did you get the guns from?
We have 900 guns.
What is poison?
It certainly kills you.
Like, yeah, but what's...
What is poison?
Yeah, where would you go? Where would you buy? Where would you get bleach? Your hands on?
But a lot of anything we can see the poison if it's going to kill you, can't it? Like, it's like, yeah, it's bleach could be cyanide. Considered poison.
Ribena.
Yeah.
Too much Ribena would probably kill
you. To be fair, like, Coca-Cola's poison. Just a slower.
Is it?
Slower poison.
Are you being, like, philosophical?
No, not really.
Oh.
Time's a bit of a poison.
That's
a bit philosophical.
That is really terrifying. Like, that moment where he was like, right, this is it.
So I think what it was is he basically, the wheels fell off He thought, fuck it, we'll kill the congressman.
He must have had this contingency, though. He's like, if it all goes to shit, I've got all this poison in the shed.
Yeah, of course. And all these armed guards.
To think of that, to even think, yeah. Like, right, I better get that just in case.
And all the armed guards that come out of nowhere, they must have not known about the armed guards.
Yeah.
He must have been raising a different side to control the people if they did get out of line.
Mm.
But they were so brainwashed that they stuck to the script for that long.
That is insane, isn't it? I can't imagine being that brainwashed because I can't...
But you wouldn't even know you were that brainwashed.
No, I know, but you...
But all your life is for the last few years, is this church. So all you can think of is, like, you know, what life have I got apart from this? Mm. What would happen?
But that's what I mean. I can't imagine...
I'd have to, like, go back to...
Following an individual like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine doing that without any question.
Mm.
That would be terrifying. When he started, like, killing kids, could you imagine being there and just be like, what would you do if you were in that moment and
I guess,
see him poisoning
children? Guess you know it's coming. Like,
would you just accept it, or would you be like, screw this, I'm
running
these
off. People, like, obviously, if we're all going to die, the kids are included in that as well. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You wouldn't... Obviously, you'd be shocked, but I think they're like, well, yeah, of course.
I grabbed the kid from the shoulders up in that process of taking him out of the pavilion. This kid died in my arms. I just felt the life go out of it. To me, at that point, I knew that this shit was real.
Die with respect, die with a degree of dignity. If nothing to get, it's just stepping over in another plane. Don't be this way.
I ain't never used the term suicide, and I'm not gonna never use the term suicide. That man killed, was killing us.
As I walked up to the back of the pavilion, I saw a woman named Rosie on the ground, crying, holding her dead baby. There were maybe 8 or 9 other people who were dying or in the process of dying. Inside, I just wanted things to stop. Please, just let me catch my breath. Let me figure out what's happening here. I looked to my right, then I saw my wife with our son in her arms and poison being injected into his mouth. My son was dead and he was frothing at the mouth. You know, cyanide makes people froth at the mouth. My wife died in my arms and my dead baby son was in her arms, and I held her and said, I love you, because that's all I could say. It was like... She died in my arms, man.
Quickly.
That's really chilling.
Pretty grim, isn't it?
That's horrific. It's like when you goes back to the storm when they arrived, and the guy said, "Oh, that felt like evil coming in."
Mm.
That feels to me like that kind of evil, where it's just like chaotic. And
little picture there of
sounds awful.
Holy crap!
Fuck!
All those people on the floor. Yeah.
Fuck.
900.
What did they do with all them bodies?
What did they do with it? I don't want to know.
Fuck knows.
That's such an enormous amount of people.
Such a bummer. Like, I mean, such a downer, like, end of the episode. Yeah. See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
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 You voted for it.
You asked for it.
What happened to the Reverend Jim Jones?
Well, he didn't kill himself, I guess.
Jones died on November 28th, 1978. He was found dead on a deck chair with a gunshot wound to his head.
Shot himself.
That the Guyanese coroner, Cyril Mutu, stated was consistent with a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Mm.
However, Jones's son Stephen believes his father may have directed someone else to shoot him. An autopsy of Jones's body also showed levels of the barbiturate pentobarbital, which may have been lethal to humans who have not developed physiological tolerance.
Mm.
And that is, it says, fuck knows. I don't know what it is.
God, that is terrible, isn't it? That's like,
so he shot himself.
All ego. Even if he told, he couldn't even do that himself.
Yeah, he still killed himself.
Oh, I said it would be euthanasia, the drug. They use it in Dignitas, which is like a place in Switzerland.
Wow. Cheery.
Yeah. Jonestown. I thought that this would take up the whole episode, but I wasn't sure.
It's just so much to get your head around, and it's so...
It's a different
it's
angle,
still
isn't
so
it?
Unbelievable that so many people followed him. Like, if... You must really, really hate your current circumstances to be like... Like, obviously people move away all the time. You're doing it within the next few years. But, like, not just moving away, but, yeah, following an individual so blindly.
But the way that I see it is, it started off as this amazing community movement. They went from strength to strength. Everyone was loving it. Everyone was getting everyone in on it. There was dodgy stuff happening, but what's the dodgy stuff? You know, we live in a society where dodgy stuff happens. We still live in it. Mm-hmm. And then they moved to Brazil, and that's where he had him, I think. Had him in this place, and that's where the mask slipped. And at that point, it's like you're far away from your home. You've followed this cause for so long. Everyone you know who's there as well is like you're basically the only people you know in your life. You've not been able to speak to anyone for so long about your real feelings. You don't even know what feelings are anymore, or whether, you know, they're so messed up in the head that once he gets to that point, it's not even a case. It's like death probably, it's like some of them are probably like, yeah, fine, we'll just kill ourselves. Because going back to a life, they don't even know what life is without Jim Jones and without this community and without all this stuff. And that's it. They build up this reality that you live in. And then they say, well, you can either go back to your old shitty reality or you can stay in this one and do what I say. And that's where the control happens, I think. Like the Conservatives at the moment, you know.
Oh. Wow.
Good way to end.
Good way to end.
Thanks, Tissy. That was really good.
It's all right. I was going to say it was fun, but it wasn't.
It wasn't fun. No, yeah.
Depressing, isn't it? Yeah. 900 people killing themselves. There's 33 people surviving it.
Yeah.
Only 33.
I love that it's his episode. He's halfway out the door.
Yeah. I'm not halfway out the door. Okay, so you done then?
Yeah.
I can do the outro stuff on my own because it's getting on. But I will say, listener of the week this week.
Is it me?
Listener of the week. I want to give it to...
Listener of the fortnight.
Well, yeah. I want to give it to a guy called Duncan Elliott. He emailed me a little while ago saying like he discovered the show and he enjoyed it. And then he messaged again a couple of days ago to say, you know, he caught up with the whole back catalogue and he really enjoys the show. He gave us a very generous donation. He went and reviewed us on iTunes. He sent a really nice email. He really loved the Sanity episode and thought it was really good how open we were on it, and basically just said some really nice stuff. So listener of the week, Duncan Elliott, we really appreciate your support.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Duncan.
And also all the listeners that have been showing us love over the last few months, which has been, for me, like a daily basis. We're all getting messages.
Just nice messages, yeah.
Not even like, just interactions.
Mm. Yeah.
People.
It genuinely makes me laugh out loud. Like, I got a message today at work, had a really shitty day at work today, but then someone had sent me a message on Facebook, which was just a picture of Harry from Harry the Hendersons, like, pouting.
Yeah.
And that made me laugh. Huh. Yeah. Out loud. Like, that was really funny.
It's like an extended sort of family where there's all inside jokes and there's this communication.
Yeah, a lot of good people. Also, not listener of the week, Anthony Anderson.
Okay.
He asked me today.
Yeah, thanks for the beers, though.
Yeah, thanks for the beers. But he asked me today, why is our intro music Lavender Town Time?
Ah, yeah.
If you don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of the episodes that Lavender Town Time was discussed on episode 4... you don't get to be listener of the week. Sorry, Anthony, you're not listener of the week.
You know what? I'm gonna overrule that.
Wait a minute, Tiss.
I'm gonna overrule that, Anthony. We're in the same boat. I don't know.
He knows nothing.
I don't know what any of the episode numbers are, or what Bob just said. Even I've already forgotten. So, listener of the week, Anthony Anderson.
No.
What else did he do? He gave us beers, though.
Yeah, no. And every week I say he's not listener of the week. Okay. So he's like not listener of the week forever.
Ah, oh, excellent. Amazing.
What's your sign off?
Cyanide. See ya. Nide.
Cyanide, you later.
Cyanide.
Culture on the flippity flip.
Bad, isn't it?
Oh, come on. That was better than cyanide.
Cyanidra.
Jones.
Cyanidra.
Jones, you. Jones, you wish you had
Jones,
listened.
You want me, baby.
Jones, you wish.
Jones, you want me, wow.
My sign off is, mind how you go. Vote Labour. I'll see you in a bit.
Wait, this is the election happened by now.
Yeah, I know.
To anyone that's upset about the election result, just stick together.
That's going in Rob's.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Bye, Tess.
Awesome.
Cool.
That's good as well.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to record the outro shit when I edit.
Alright, cool. I'll see you later.
Yeah, I don't know when, but...
No.
See you later, dude. Okay, so the outro stuff. If you want to go on the website, weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com, you can find all sorts of interesting links related to each episode. There's a blog post for every episode. And on there, you can find links to our Twitters, Facebooks, Patreons. There's a donate button if you just want to chip in some support. And if you do want to support, you can go on patreon.com/weirdtalesandtheunexplainable. We're adding some more stuff to that all the time. At the moment, we've got, if you donate as little as $1 a month, you can have your say in like what episodes we do. Like this one, Tiss didn't know what he wanted to do, so he chucked up some options on there. People voted on more cults, and my next episode is actually going to be put to a vote as well, because I've got quite a few ones I want to do, can't decide, put it to the listeners. So that's that. And if you pay $2 and up a month, you can get access to Rubs, which is a mini podcast. It's basically when I edit the show, we record for about 2 hours. There's always a lot left on the cutting room floor. And all that off-topic shit that normally just gets deleted actually goes into a mini pod called Rubs, which you get if you donate $2 and up a month on Patreon. So the first episode went up after our Bridgewater episodes. They're normally about 15. They're going to be about 15 to 20 minutes long each, I expect. So, yeah, get Rubs. We're also looking into doing some other stuff. We're going to be putting some video on there, perhaps, at a certain tier, and also music at a certain tier. Sometimes on the outros, sometimes we use silly music on the outros. You always hear them, a song you might know. But sometimes... the outro music's actually written by me or Tiss, or me and Tiss together. And we're going to start making those little nonsense songs we put together available for patrons as well at some point. In fact, I think I might be using one of my songs at the end of this episode, so that one will be available at some point on the Patreon. People asked about the Weird Tales Twitter. There isn't a Weird Tales Twitter. But basically my Twitter is the Weird Tales Twitter. I'm always tweeting the updates as I'm editing and putting the shows together, and 90% of my tweets are about the show. So if you want a Weird Tales Twitter, it's at Bob Shoy, at B-O-B-S-H-O-Y.
My sign off is, mind how you go.
That's getting cut, isn't it?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.